One of the most detrimental effects of propaganda that demonizes the West or, you know, justifies authoritarianism and corruption in many countries, one of the most detrimental effects is it demoralizes anyone who wants to fight for civil rights, for human rights, who wants to fight corruption. I've heard it so many times when someone would try to criticize or raise a voice about an issue of, say, grave human rights violations or crimes against humanity, war crimes. A lot of people would be discouraged by something like, oh, you know, Canada's record is not perfect too. Oh, you have issues and this and that in Canada and countries of the West. Therefore, you don't have any moral ground to criticize this issue because everybody does that. Well, I would like to tell the youth and people who are listening, everybody doesn't do those terrible and disgusting things. No, it's not true. You shouldn't listen to the propaganda. If somebody tells you, well, we have a rampant corruption in this country, but you have no right to highlight this issue because you have rampant corruption in Canada too. Well, you should just do a simple fact check. You don't need to be a specialist. You don't need to be a an academic or, you know, researcher who spends 30 years on studying this subject. We know for the matter of fact that, yes, issues exist everywhere. However, the degree of, say, corruption and human rights violation is completely different level of violations. It's a completely different level of the number of occurrences and so forth. And the most important part is what distinguishes a state that serves the society and humans from a state where humans are subservient to something else, to some other interest or some person's interest, be it a tyranny, dictatorship, a totalitarian state. What differentiates us from them, let's say Canada from a country that violates human rights, has a very bad record or commits genocide, is our reaction to those occurrences. Yes, we do have issues here too. However, what's the reaction? Check what's the reaction to that problem. What's the response to this problem? Because here we have institutions in place. We have rule of law, we have courts, we have independent bodies that respond to that problem accordingly and treat that problem accordingly. However, in places where the propaganda media that tells you, you know, everybody has those problems. If you check those countries that suppress their citizens, that are authoritarian dictatorships or totalitarian states, their response to the problem is completely different. If there is a human rights violation, they will not work to rectify the situation. There is no independent court. There is no body that would punish those who violate the human rights and, you know, help the victim or make sure that it doesn't happen again. In those states, it is the state perpetrates. It's the state that's the perpetrator, and God forbid you're going to complain about human rights violation as a citizen of that country. You will most likely be persecuted for that. You have to see those differences and don't let yourselves to be manipulated and fooled by those statements, because if anyone tells you, well, you know, we can't criticize, you can't say this because in Canada you have those issues too. Yes, we have those issues. We respond to them completely in a completely different way, and we resolve those issues. You know, you have to be able to stand your ground, to check your facts, and all that you need to do is just to sit down, think, and ask questions. Don't be afraid, and it will work out.
You made an interesting point when you mentioned that as time progresses, and this is very clear, advancements continue to be made in terms of the workforce, technology. One of the conferences that I had an opportunity to attend took place at the Mackenzie Institute at the University of Toronto, and the focus of the conference was mainly on cybersecurity, terrorism, and issues pertaining to our security as a nation. In terms of terrorism and cybersecurity, I know you mentioned that oftentimes we take it for granted, the fact that we don't necessarily realize how valuable the security that we currently have is. What would you say are some of the biggest issues pertaining to cybersecurity, for one, and terrorism. What are some of the challenges associated with dealing with cybersecurity and terrorist threats?
Well, cybersecurity is more of a technological challenge. How do you protect your data successfully without compromising your ability to maintain open networks, which benefit your society and economy and progress? I mean, you have to strike a fine balance there. At the same time, there is an issue with countries that don't want to cooperate in the area of cyber terrorism, or maybe the cause of that cyber terrorism, or have groups that are specifically created to steal technology, to conduct industrial espionage, or to steal personal data or the government data. So the challenges there, of course, is intergovernmental cooperation or simply resisting or fighting those threats on a technological level, again, without compromising the openness of your cyberspace and our freedom, our main freedoms. With regards to terrorism, it's such a complex issue, and it has a great number of root causes and problems that arise from social problems, that could arise from an integrational issue, that could arise from cultural issues, that could come from poverty and sometimes simply some rogue states using people to further their goals. It's a very complex issue, but one of the keys to solving, reducing terrorist threats or trying to resolve this issue, in my view, is information, is awareness. And I am not just talking about intelligence and government's ability, which is very important, a government's ability to know what's going on in the society, what's going on in communities and other countries. Intelligence is, of course, paramount, and I hope without too much of an intrusion that would encroach on our fundamental freedoms. At the same time, it's very important to do the outreach to the communities. I believe that the successful way to fight issues like terrorism is to prevent it. And by prevent it, I don't mean using force. It doesn't have to get to the point where somebody needs to use force. I strongly believe that terrorism comes from ignorance and misunderstanding. I don't believe that certain humans, are born with good nature and certain are just born evil. I don't believe in that. I think that most of the terrorist issues could be prevented by reaching out, by fighting back the ignorance on the other part, or maybe our part. For instance, as a NATO, we should reach out to the communities, to youth, to children, to schools, to even to people abroad, to fight back demonization of NATO and Western countries in general. That's happening in certain places, with some very serious issues and very dysfunctional societies or states. And a lot of people who want to do harm to us or to people of different background or religion, or a lot of people who have vicious ideology, they intentionally guide ignorant people into terrorist attacks, into doing harm. So first and foremost, I would say that you need to reach out, you need to explain, you need to show everyone who we really are and what we stand for, so that we could eliminate this misunderstanding and unnecessary ignorance that feeds hatred around the world and within our community. This would be a very important step to preventing these kind of things from happening in the beginning.
I agree. Adlin, in terms of the ongoing issues that have been happening around the world, what would you say are some of the major issues of concern right now?
Well, we have different security threats, and we have news headlines every day, and every day you look at the news headlines, you may think, oh, wow, this must be the most important issue of today. And you might want to think it's Middle East, you might want to think it's Iran. For a lot of people, it also comes from their background, because if you're from Middle East, you know, it may appear that everything revolves around it and this is the most important issue. If you're from South America, it could be something else. If you're from Europe or Russia or China. So in the way we're biased to, we're biased in thinking what's the most important issue. It may not reflect the reality. The world is a very complex place. There are issues in almost every region which are very important and of global importance. And we can't just say that this is the one issue that is the most important issue in the world. We live in a flat, globalized world which has many regions. Therefore, there are many issues that are of paramount global importance. I would like to highlight one issue, though. It may not cross our minds, it may not sound realistic at first. However, since the end of the Cold War, we as a society, or the global society, made maybe this unconscious decision that the threat of a nuclear war, the nuclear threat, is gone. You know, the Berlin Wall fell, the Soviet Union collapsed, and this is it. We live in this safer world where we don't have the nuclear threat, there's not going to be a nuclear war, etc. I think that the threat is not gone and it's real as long as we have huge stockpiles of nuclear arms in so many countries and proliferation is still an issue. For instance, today there was this news of North Korea testing another nuclear device or thermonuclear device. I think it's still an issue. It's still an issue that revisionist powers like Russia that constantly threat to use their nuclear weapons in each confrontation and in every confrontation. And the countries that use nuclear weapons as their argument more and more often do represent a direct threat. Because it's one thing that there can be a terrorism threat which is a terrible thing, which is a tragedy, which hurts the society, you know, hits the soft targets or whatever other targets. It's a huge issue. However, nothing compares to the fact that one day you may not wake up as a world or wake up to a completely new reality where prosperity and safety will mean it will be at a completely different level where it used to be or where we used to have it. So this is a real issue. This is a real danger. We may dismiss it, but until we have this ability to destroy the whole planet, the whole of the humanity, I think it's still a very important issue, very important threat.
Adlan, I want to thank you very much for your time and for doing this interview. I've known you for a couple days now, and I look forward to collaborating with you more as time progresses, and hopefully we can work on projects together. Are there any final words that you'd like to leave with the listeners today?
Well, it's been my pleasure to meet with you and the team. It's been my pleasure to answer all these questions. I am honored that there are people who would like to know what I think. It's a very big compliment. So thank you very much. Thank you for your time. And what I would like to say to our listeners is don't wait for something to happen. Go ahead, be initiative. Be forward-looking, ask questions, network, talk to people. Don't be afraid of adventures and live your life fully and joyfully and enjoyfully.
Enjoy every moment,
yes,
right?
enjoy the moment, yes.
Adlan, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.